That was the unmistakable beginning to Andrew Lloyd Webber's The Phantom of the Opera, the single most popular piece of entertainment of all time. It's one of many shows on in London's West End during the recession. I'm Gary Kirk, and this is my journey into theatreland. Britain is currently going through the worst recession for more than 100 years. In previous times of economic doom and gloom, it's been theatre which has bucked the trend and continued to have great success. I wanted to find out if that was the same today, and if so, why. I thought there were two very broad categories that UK theatre fits into. Musicals like Avenue Q and Jersey Boys, then plays like Agatha Christie's The Mousetrap and Private Lives by Noel Coward. My aim is to find out how the recession is affecting each type of production. Included in our plays category are performances of plays by William Shakespeare. The Bard is arguably England's greatest playwright, and many of his works were first performed at the Globe Theatre on London's South Bank. These days, on the other side of the River Thames, the West End has recently seen a number of successful adaptations of his works. It's not known on what date he was born, but Shakespeare was baptised on April the 26th, 1564, in Stratford-upon-Avon. I went there to find out more about him. Liz Thompson is the Royal Shakespeare Company's Director of Communications, and she agreed to meet me. I started by asking her why Shakespeare is still so popular.
I think because he still speaks to the human dilemmas that we all face, you know, love, jealousy, power, loss, death. It's just as relevant now as it was in his time 400 years ago. Shakespeare obviously only wrote 37 plays, so there's only a limited number of ways in which you can put all of those together. But I think what's interesting about Shakespeare is not only that he speaks to dilemmas that we all face today and never offers an absolute answer to everything. What he's so great at is presenting things from many different points of view, allowing you to put your own interpretation or your own view onto a play. And obviously that's something I think that's particularly exciting for directors and actors, that you're not dealing with a living writer in that particular instance. You're dealing with something that can be interpreted in many different ways. And, you know, there probably been hundreds, thousands probably, of productions of Twelfth Night and all his other plays. But each time there's something fresh and something new to say. So whilst you wouldn't necessarily want to see Twelfth Night every night of the week, I think there's plenty of room for lots of different productions during the course of a year.
You've had David Tennant and now Richard Wilson, both actors who've had huge successes in other areas and are now attracting a very different kind of audience in theatre. Has this been good for you, with Doctor Who fans, Star Trek fans responding well and wanting to see more plays after their first?
We think that Shakespeare is for everybody, and we're very eager to make sure that we're broadening our audiences as much as possible, whether it's a six-year-old coming to their first Shakespeare play or an 82-year-old who's seen every production that we've ever done. I suppose our principle would be that it's the RSC's job to make the stars of the future rather than just work with the stars of today. But we would obviously be foolish to deny the very great talent amongst people who've already worked with us for many years. I mean, David Tennant was here a number of times before he came back to do Hamlet. For Richard Wilson, it's the first time that he'd done Shakespeare, but he'd had a long friendship with Greg Doran, for example. So I think it's mix and match. There should be something for everybody. Some people love to come and see famous people in Shakespeare plays. Some people love to come and see people who are just starting out. And I think what's interesting is looking at that overlap of audiences and how, you know, people who come to see one production, for example, maybe David Tennant in Hamlet, will come back and see Arabian Nights. For instance, we do a lot of new plays as well. And for those audiences, it's good to remind them we're not just about Shakespeare.
What is the biggest threat to theatre and the arts in times of recession?
Recession has traditionally proved not too bad for theatre, actually. Live audiences have held up, and certainly in the last year or so, box office figures for us and, you know, for West End theatres also have been very strong and very positive. And maybe it's that if you really love going to the theatre, it's a thing you, it would be one of the last things that you drop off your list. And relatively speaking, I mean, you know, our cheapest ticket is £12. It's a cheap date in comparison to going on an expensive holiday or buying an expensive piece of clothing. You know, it's live entertainment. It brings you together with other people and it's not terribly expensive. So I think that's part of the reason it bucks the trend. And also, it's partly, I suppose, escapism. People want to enjoy themselves. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a bit of entertainment, even when times are hard. Having said that, recession has an impact in terms of people signing up for membership. It has an impact in terms of people donating money. You know, we have got a very strong supporter base, but we are noticing that donors are wanting to give, but maybe over a longer period of time, which obviously then impacts subsequently on your fundraising for later years. So I think people are finding it tough, and we're certainly finding fundraising tough at the moment.
How do you see the Royal Shakespeare Company's wider role in theatre in times of recession, and has it changed?
I hope we've always led the way, but in a modest fashion. We wouldn't want to claim all the credit. That would be foolish. But having said that, I think the Royal Shakespeare Company has always seen its role as creating the stars of the future, as I've said. And one of the things that Michael has emphasised very much is a return to the original ensemble principles of the company, a company of actors working together over a long period of time. And we do that in a way that's not typical in British or American theatre. You know, the current company of 44 actors has been with us since January of last year and will be with us almost till the end of 2011. Now, that's almost unheard of nowadays. So that gives the company together a chance to grow and develop for audiences to see how a production can develop over time and how that trust and confidence and risk-taking between the actors can grow and improve performances over time. But we make our actors work very hard when they're here. They have to do training as well as rehearsing and performing. Because of the repertory system where you're doing maybe two or three different plays during the course of a week, they'd be rehearsing one during the day and acting in another at night. But we also make sure that everyone who works with us, whether they're a famous actor or just starting out, takes part in our artist development programme where they have training in voice, verse, rhetoric, movement, history classes, culture classes, all sorts of different things that they have to do. And I think we can offer actors who come here something that's very difficult for them to get anywhere else other than drama school. And that allows them to take those skills and that expertise off to other places when they move on to do something else. And similarly with our other theatre artists and technicians, whether a designer or a stage manager or costumier, whatever, you've got an opportunity to learn things in a way here that it wouldn't typically be possible in other places. You know, there aren't many companies who have their own armourers, for example.
And we are in the middle of a recession. How have ticket sales been?
Good, actually. Yeah, I think we've seen a very strong box office. Obviously, you know, some of our productions, you know, Hamlet in particular, was very oversubscribed. But we've had great reviews for things like our Christmas show, Arabian Nights, and very strong box office already for the year ahead, for 2010, for our new Stratford season, which is King Lear, Romeo and Juliet, and Antony and Cleopatra, and Mort Arthur.
Last Christmas, you brought David Tennant's Hamlet to a very wide audience on BBC Two. What does this mean for the RSC, and how do you hope you'll benefit?
Well, we were very excited about the partnership with BBC Two. I mean, obviously, as I say, increasing audiences and increasing access to what we do is really important. We have a very extensive education programme, and we think you should start Shakespeare young. We think you should see it live, and we think you should do it standing on your feet, because it's not just a text, it is a play, and we want people to see his work as an active play to be enjoyed. So I think extending the ways in which you can see our productions is really good. Michael Boyd, our artistic director, has said quite categorically that it's never going to replace the live experience, and we very much want to encourage people to come to the theatre. Having said that, that's not always possible for people, and I think ways of capturing live theatre on film or on TV are something to be explored. It's not easy to do, and I think particularly for us, because we have a thrust stage where the audience sits on three sides, that presents very particular challenges, different from filming something on a proscenium arch where you're looking at it in a sort of cinema picture window, I suppose. And we're exploring all sorts of different ways of doing that, looking at pay-per-view, looking at live streaming, looking at filming things for TV. And we haven't found a perfect answer yet, but we were really delighted with the BBC Hamlet, and it certainly generated a lot of excitement. It's going to open in America, I think, at the end of April this year, and hopefully that'll bring an even wider audience to what we do, very much with the aim of driving them back to come and see our work at the theatre.
That was the Royal Shakespeare Company's Liz Thompson talking about former Doctor Who actor David Tennant's portrayal of Hamlet. But David Tennant isn't the only actor to swap his TARDIS for the stage. Peter Davison, who played the fifth incarnation of the Doctor, is currently treading the boards as Professor Callahan in the West End production of Legally Blonde. That's at the Savoy Theatre. I spoke to Peter Davison on the phone just before curtain up. I asked him if he was enjoying his new role.
Yeah, I guess I do enjoy it. Wouldn't say if you gave me a choice of coming in every night to town and singing on stage in front of 1,300 people, I'd choose that. So it's quite a challenge every night, but it's just enjoyable. Yeah.
Sure. And what made you take the role originally?
Well, you know, it's something that I hadn't done, despite my getting on a bit. I think I did my first musical, West End musical, about 10 years ago, and that was just a part in Chicago, and I did Spamalot a couple of years ago, and this seemed like just a different level. You know, it was a proper Broadway team coming over to take us through the paces, and it was the first time I'd been asked to actually start a production, and I took over in Chicago and took over in Spamalot. So it was a very exciting sort of project.
Had you seen the Reese Witherspoon film before you started work on the musical?
Yes, actually, funnily enough, I had. People are always surprised by that, because it's quite a girly film. But yeah, I did see it when it came out.
What do you think about audiences coming to see a show for the big-name celebrity or reality show contestant in it?
Well, I really believe whatever gets them through the door. I mean, I don't think you can get them through the door and then let them down. But you know, there are a lot of people who I meet in just the course of my everyday life who just don't go to the theatre, who wouldn't dream about going to the theatre. And when actually you persuade them, if you're so lucky to persuade them that they should come and see it, they are amazed by the experience, not just because it's a show I'm in, but just the whole theatre experience. I mean, there are millions of people out there that just do not ever go to the theatre. You know, the theatre is supported by a fairly small number of people, usually sort of middle class, usually middle age, actually. But this sort of show gets other people through the door, and whether it's because they're going to see Duncan from Blue or Sheridan from, you know, Two Pints of Lager, then it's almost irrelevant, as long as you then provide them with the goods. I mean, I wouldn't suggest just getting someone like that into a show that was then rubbish. But I think if you can use, you know, those things to get people, you know, new audience to go and see theatre, I think that's great.
Well, there you have it. The West End is one of the few things thriving during the recession. And I, for one, hope that continues for a very long time indeed.